Hello and welcome to Upscale, the podcast for designers, dreamers and entrepreneurs. Join us on our latest episode where we have a Q&A from the media production students at Bournemouth University. This is part of their industry working module where they have to research an enterprise, much like our agency Unboxed, and then give a presentation on what they've learned. It was a really interesting insight as to what they would find interesting and useful as they go through their education. Thanks, and hope you enjoy.
So, obviously, my name is William Niven. I'm the MD of Unboxed. So I founded the company. Mark's our head of marketing, and Anna is one of our marketing managers. So I thought it'd be good for them to kind of sit on the call, marketing-related questions, direct them towards them, and then they can answer them. So what course are you guys on at uni?
Media production.
You're in media production. Okay.
Yeah, I do media production.
Brilliant. And what is this in relation to? Are you having to go out and do kind of industry research and this sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's part of our like work in media industries module. And it's basically, this is like 70% of our mark, this module. And we basically just got to research like a media enterprise and then like give a presentation basically about what we've learned and like company values and stuff. And part of it was like, if you could get an interview with the company and like find out some extra information, like that would be great. So we're really grateful that we've been able to get an interview with you guys.
Yeah, no problem at all. Well, look, anything you want to know, fire away, fire questions over and I'll try my best to answer them.
Thank you. So first of all, what's like the sort of expected experience for like entry level positions? So when someone comes to join your company?
Yeah, so I think this is an interesting question because I think the general consensus is that everyone's always looking for degrees and qualifications. And to be honest, we found that the people that end up progressing the most within the company and the people that we end up selecting is their kind of experience in terms of education, but it's also their experience in terms of work experience. So whether it's freelance work or they've gone and worked at a company for the summer or something, I think that kind of gives you like a unique edge. So I suppose it's a combination of your skill set, any portfolio work or previous work that you can look at, because you can actually see your skill set and application. And yeah, any freelance work that you can do whilst you're at uni, I think that's a major factor. But yeah, entry level positions. Yeah, I don't. Mark, what do you think? It's more experience than anything.
Yeah,
it is for sure, because you. I mean, I talk about myself, for example. When I came to Unboxed, I had never worked in marketing before, and I had sent off 100,000 CVs to different companies looking to get a job, and it was always no, because you need to have 3 years experience or you need a degree in a certain thing to be able to get the position. But I mean, at college, I did law and business, which gave me some background. But I mean, I'm 30 years old, so I grew up with social media. Same as you guys, like you're growing up with it and you're using it every day. So while education is very, very important, it is a case of what you can do on the side. Because when I came to work at Unboxed, I showed Will stuff that I'd done in my own personal life. Like I was a failed influencer, but I'd run like pages for certain brands and companies and kind of built myself up that way and taught myself. So when people come to work for us, if it's in marketing, for example, just because they don't have the education in the right sector, it's just the kind of the drive and determination to want to do it. Because if someone wants to do it, especially in this day and age, they can learn it.
Yeah, exactly.
The drive is really important, I think.
I think one of the main things, I know you guys are asking me about how do we deal with recruitment, which I think is another question that you had. And in terms of what we kind of look for as a criteria, and what do we work alongside recruitment companies for like really specialist roles, but we also put job roles out for ourselves and obviously interview ourselves. But one of the skill sets we say is if you've got someone that's freelanced in the past, usually that gives them kind of the other factors that are really adaptable and unique. So if you've been freelancing and you've managed your own clients, you've dealt with those difficult situations when, you know, maybe the scope's changed throughout the project, or expectation has been slightly different to what you've delivered, or the results haven't been as good, or, you know, so it's those kind of problem solvings and using the initiative that's kind of like a key factor looking in for.
What would you say like your brand identity is?
So what, in terms of values? So what do you mean?
Yeah, like company, yeah, brand values.
I think there's a few different things. It depends whether we're looking internally or externally. I think internally, responsibility is quite a big thing. So as like a company owner, I'm not only responsible for the staff, I'm also responsible for the clients and the accounts and making sure that everything's kind of a well-oiled machine and everything's running like clockwork. So I think internally, being responsible for the team and making sure that everyone's happy and obviously that they've got everything that they need and they're kind of working towards that. But externally, being responsible for clients and making sure that the work's being delivered for them is one major thing. I think being actionable is probably a major factor. So it's actionable as in being reactive, being responsive, and kind of being results driven is like the real core basis of what we do. A major thing that we always work towards is selling the results, not the services, or the results first and the services second. I think a lot of companies that you find fall by the wayside just try to sell, like very specific deliverables, when actually you need to listen to the customer about what they want, or maybe the solution is slightly different to what they've kind of proposed to begin with. And I think being actionable, that another one is probably being meaningful. You know, you can't always pick and choose your clients, and they're not always have a major impact on the world. But I think if you can try and work with clients that do have some sort of kind of meaningful impact, whether it's ethically or you know, to do with being responsible, that sort of thing, then I think that's quite a good thing that we look for. Mark, did you have, Mark or Anna, do you have anything else that we kind of work towards? I'm probably wafting.
Yeah, I agree that sometimes it's important to see bigger picture, because clients sometimes they see the final results, but they might not agree with your tactics. So you need to be, you need to manage to phrase everything so that they understand the journey to achieve the result, instead of just saying like, we will definitely do this. You need to be honest with them and show them the obstacles that you might face. So you need to be open, honest, and you need to work together. You know, it's not that the type of service that just, you know, you just ask people to do and just leave it for to deal with it.
Yeah,
you need
yeah.
to be constantly involved with the client, and client need to see the journey, understand it fully. I think that's one of the things that's important to keep in mind.
Okay. Yeah, I think, sorry, Mark, you say so?
No, I agree with both of you.
Yeah. I think the only other thing is, in terms of like managing the work, I think being memorable is a major factor for us. And it's one of the things that makes you stand out and be unique. You have to, even things like, I know our website is one of those things. It's like the shoemaker with no shoes. Like, we end up servicing the clients 24/7, and we want to rebuild our website. But at the time when we did the website originally, so a couple of years ago, having a black backdrop and some of the transitional elements and stuff, that was really different. Like, everything was
white. I really liked it. I
think probably where we look at it every day, I think it's one of those things that like,
oh, I think it's really impressive. No,
when we did first design that, for example, everything was about white space, and you know, and then having a black backdrop and contrasting colors, and like, I don't know, I think being memorable in everything that you do, whether it's a marketing campaign, whether it's a brand pack, whether it's the way that you're displaying your work, don't just grab something off the shelf, let's say you're mocking up business cards, get something that's different, something that's going to stand out, something that you've actually put some time to really think about. So memorable, attention to detail. It's all these things kind of come together, and that's what makes it successful.
Okay. It's funny you say that, because that's like one of the things that drew us to like wanting to find out more about your company. Because obviously we just went off of like companies' web pages, and we really liked your one. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, like talking about clients and stuff, one of our other modules, client and audience, we're like, it's like the first time we're sort of working with like clients at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding it a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, we got like a decent client. We've got NHS Dorset. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
we did some work with them. So I've got a funny story about that. Yeah. So we did, they consolidated all of the private surgeries and a handful of them, about 7 or 8 of them in and around Dorset into a super medical group, because if they've got more patients and they can win more contracts for vaccines and you know, drugs and that sort of thing. So anyway, we were doing a brand identity project where they were going to consolidate them all into one brand, and the medical industry is like, the way that they think about things is completely different. So I don't know if you're finding that working with them, but we were sending them questionnaires for branding exercises and it just wasn't working. So we decided to get them all in one room and we did association games. So for instance, to identify who their demographic was, we did like a car association, and you put them in different piles for different surgeries. So you have a car make, car model. And it's subconsciously, by selecting a brand, you're selecting a type of demographic, but by selecting the car model, you're selecting like an age group within that. So if you imagine like a Mercedes A class is very different to like, I don't know, a Bentley or something. So I think the main thing when you're dealing with clients is to just try and get yourself in their head. I think it's very easy to think that everyone understands what you're talking about, but we have a meeting with our web team and I have no idea what they're talking about. So it's just nod. But just make everything really clear. And I think getting all the information at a very early offset is going to be your biggest asset. So we go through a whole round of info gathering, which makes up probably like 10-20% of whatever work we're doing. So just get as much info as you can and make sure that there's no discrepancies and there's nothing outside of scope. Because what you don't want someone to do is, oh, you never asked me about that. Oh, this is what I needed right from the offset. So
I know. Well, the two ladies we're working with, they've been like great, but I know there's some other groups that haven't had it as easy, I don't think.
What are you having to do for them? You're having to put a marketing campaign together?
Our brief was like a bit vague, but basically we're trying to like raise awareness for like youth participation within like the Dorset area.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things like mental health awareness and stuff like that.
They were talking about doing a, when I was working with them a couple of years ago, they were going to do a bus that went round and it would stop at different locations and they'd have people in there that could assist and that sort of thing. I don't know if that was something they were still looking at doing. I think when they redeveloped the Lansdowne kind of by Turtle Bay there, they were going to have it parked there because that's quite at night, that can be this quite a like dangerous spot.
Yeah, they have it. I think they do have it now.
Oh, is that actually?
Yeah,
pre-pandemic.
Safety bus. But it is, I think it is difficult, and it's an interesting way of getting people to try and talk out about those sort of issues. And there was a campaign recently that I saw on Instagram, literally launched, because I think it was Mental Health Awareness Day a couple of days ago, and it was called My Light Is On? I don't know if you've seen that. You should have a look at that. That's quite an interesting one. So it's people, they were getting kind of, not influencers, but key people around the Dorset area to do a video recording of them saying that their light is on and people can reach out and talk to them and submit comments and that sort of thing. So have a look at that. That'd be quite, it launched 2 days ago. It just came out of nowhere. I think it's something to do with the medical sector within Dorset or something.
Yeah. I'll have a look.
Yeah.
We've got a few more questions. I was just wondering, what's your sort of legal and ownership structure of the company?
So originally I set up, So when I was at uni, I was freelancing. So I was freelancing on my own. I then teamed up with a school friend and we set up Unboxed. So that was maybe 7 years ago. And then I bought him out and then I took full ownership. It's just me, basically. I'm just, just me.
Do you think you have a niche within the marketing industry?
I think Yes, I think we do, in the fact that we can take a product from conceptualization right through to delivery. And that's quite a unique factor within our sector, because what you find is you get branding agencies and you get web design agencies and you get marketing agencies, but it's quite rare to be able to tie all three together. So as an example, let's say you get a jewelry company come to us. We can do the branding and identity design. We would then go through to do the CAD drawings and the CGI rendering. We can help with manufacturing, but usually they would go and do that themselves. We could do the packaging, we could do the e-commerce store, which is obviously allowing people to actually transact and purchase the product. We'll do all of the content creation, we could do the marketing and then get it through to delivery and kind of assisting them post-launch. So I think from a service side of things, that's probably our niche and our unique edge. I suppose the other thing that's allowed us to grow is our organization and kind of the way that we structure our internal management. We use time tracking tools and project management systems and a lot of automations and stuff. So I suppose it's not really a niche, but when you get clients, they'll do a round of tendering for projects and they might approach 10 agencies. We make it very clear that our approach is completely transparent. And that is quite unique, and that probably sets us apart from that side of things as well. But there's a lot of other agencies in the UK, but I think that usually they have one specialism. So I suppose, I don't know, Mark and Anna, what do you think? That's probably my insight, what separates us a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, most other agencies, they are specialists in certain areas. So, you know, when it comes to marketing the company, the fact that we can actually market in every single area brings a lot of people and a lot of people through to our site from, you know, different places. So yeah, I think that's definitely unique to us.
Oh wow. Yeah, definitely. When I was looking on the website, I was like, is there anything they don't do?
I'm not referred to as a yes man. I think Mark probably hates it. He's like, no. I'm like, Mark, are we working with this person? He's like, no.
It's a mixed bag though, because, you know, it's great that we can do that, but obviously taking a concept from someone's first inception all the way through to the final end into marketing, that is a lot of work, and it has to go through a lot of people. So yeah, sometimes it can be annoying, but at the same time it's good that we can do that, because as well, you know, for like me and Anna, we work in marketing, but when we see so much of like the web development and the branding, and at another agency we may never see that.
Yeah, I think also having those key people involved throughout the project is a major factor. And like, for instance, if we're working with a marketing client, it might be a case that Mark and Anna do a web audit before we even take them on to do marketing. And it might be a case that we redesign the website to make it better for conversion, which then makes their work a lot easier or, well, more successful. So it's having that kind of collaborative process and getting everyone involved.
Great for like professional, personal growth for me personally, because I see how guys from design work, how web developers work, and it just gives an understanding of everything that's going on in any business, and you are more professional. So you can, for instance, suggest something that you are not necessarily personally involved with, but as an idea to the client, and then it might, you know,
morph into something. Yeah, more often than not, I think being more open with your, I know this is probably going a bit wayward from your question, but
I'd say, what was the question?
I think being able to communicate with your clients and stuff is really important. Like, if you've got an idea, just get it out there. Put it in a way to give it some backing. Like, don't just point out loads of problems, point out a problem and then offer a solution. But
I don't know if you'd be able to answer this, because obviously you've got a lot of different people that do like loads of different things, but what would you say like your strengths are as a company?
Well the key areas that the company's split into is branding, web design and marketing. Now originally we were a branding agency. And we primarily focused on identity design. We then started doing showcase web design, then went into more complex e-commerce design and ERP systems. And alongside that, marketing and strategy and stuff kind of went hand in hand with it. I would say web design probably makes up 60% of our work. and a mark 60-70%, 60%. I'd probably say web design is our biggest service, but off the back of that, obviously you've got branding on one side, you've got, which is kind of like pre-web, if that makes sense, and then marketing is kind of the other side, which is post-launch, and they all kind of work together. So I don't know, I wouldn't say there's probably one real core, I wouldn't say there's one area that we're better in, but I'd probably say we do more work in web design.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And who would you say your like biggest competitor is?
Again, it kind of goes back to the last one. I don't think there's one company that we would put ourselves against. I mean, there's a huge amount of agencies all over the planet. But yeah, I don't really know. I think the main thing about our industry is being unique. So if you're thinking that someone's a competitor and they're your direct competition, you're probably doing it wrong.
Because you'd look at as well, because like also there's so many different agencies, but again, they specialize in certain things. But for web design, which is obviously a big part of our business, that the growth in the last 10 years of like build your own website, Wix and all that kind of Squarespace, you know, they are massive. And that's made a lot of people build their own sites, but they still aren't providing, if you're opening like a big e-commerce store and you're trying to build that on Squarespace, it's just not going to happen. So
I think just following on from that, I think the interesting thing over the years of actually having the agency is how things do change. So like where it is more accessible for people to build their own websites, I find a lot of what we're doing now is building like bespoke products for people, which is they're larger projects, but it's something that doesn't exist. So it's all kind of moving more that way. So you do find that the services kind of change over the years. So like we introduced CGI and 3D design 3 months ago, something like that. And that's completely taken on a whole nother role of its own. I mean, we're going to put a case study out today for an electric car company. They create cars, custom builds, but the majority of their business is retrofitting electric engines into American muscle cars and like classic cars and that sort of thing. But we'll launch the case study today, and the CGI work on that is like mind blowing. Like even I saw it today, and like it is amazing. Like it's probably one of my proudest case studies. But so CGI, which is quite interesting with the whole COVID thing and the fact that people can't travel around and furniture companies and that sort of stuff. Mm. Computer generated imagery and rendering has become massive because you can't organize photo shoots. You can't get products around because of Brexit as easily. So it does change over time, service providing and that sort of stuff.
What's like the biggest sort of client you've worked for in the past?
Ooh, I think the biggest client name is probably Nike, but that probably the biggest project. That was an influencer campaign producing content for a fitness app they've got. I'd say biggest project. I think biggest client, sorry. We're doing a project with Pucker Pants at the moment. We've been working on that for nearly 2 years. So that's, I don't know. Mark and Anna, what do you think? I don't really know. I get a bit bogged down. We've worked with a lot of different clients.
They're maybe not unknown, but we definitely know that they're established in their niche. So maybe, you know, many different clients.
I think the interesting thing about the bigger clients is you don't usually work directly with them. They have so many subdivisions. Like if you're working with Addison Lee, for example, we were working with the company that provides the ordering terminals that works with Addison Lee. So you find that it's a big name, but it's usually providing content and that sort of stuff. So
yeah.
In regards to like social media, what would you say your digital footprint like in general, what would you say gets the most interaction? Because we were having a look at your Instagram and then also the website, and then we saw about the blogs as well.
I think that's a question for Mark, is it? I wouldn't know.
It's as you all probably know, it's Instagram, because that's the most alive network right now. If we post something out on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, unless people are complaining to a company, no one uses Twitter. So if it's on Facebook, then it's skewed quite a bit older, and that's actually getting worse. Like younger people are just not using Facebook the same way they're using Instagram or TikTok, for example. No, we're not using TikTok yet, but I think Instagram, and also when we post blogs, that obviously gets a lot of interaction as well, not just through social media, but onto the actual website. But yeah, it's all Instagram, to be honest with you.
But if you think like of terms of traffic, I feel like paid PPC is the main source to a website, right? Instead of Instagram.
You probably find, you split it in two ways. If it's brand awareness stuff, general social media platforms, Instagram and that sort of stuff, probably the best. But if you're looking for like targeted ad campaigns and specific search terms and stuff, then it's always going to be paid advertising.
Ryan, do you want to ask a bit about the economic side of things?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there been a project where you've started to work on but you've had to like pull out for some reason?
Yeah, I read this question before. I don't think we've ever pulled out of projects. What you do find, just going back to what I was saying about info gathering and research when you're first proposing a project, the clearer you can kind of outline the scope of what you're going to be doing, it just leaves any grey areas, which is usually what causes issues later on down the line. So we've never really had to pull out of a project, but there are cases where the scope has changed and we've had to change direction. Or it might be like we're working with a travel company at the moment, and we've worked with them for a long time. We're stopping and starting ad campaigns because of everything that's going on within the travel industry. So you have to be quite reactive. And I think if you're flexible enough and you deal with it kind of there and then, you'll never have to pull out of a project or completely sever relationship. If you don't deal with it and you don't change your course, then you probably will have to end up pulling out because you're not going to be servicing them for what they need. I don't know if that does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Maybe another thing that might be an obstacle is just the platforms that we work with. Sometimes they have specific rules that we need to align our work to. So this might be quite a big obstacle. For instance, Facebook is quite difficult to work with because they constantly change the rules for Facebook and Instagram advertising, and you need to keep track of changes constantly.
That is a really good point, actually. Yeah, so one thing that you do find more often than not is that a company will approach us to do an advertising campaign for a certain industry sector, and it's not a case that we don't want to work with them, it's just that we won't be able to service them because you can't run adverts for that. So whether it's competition websites, is that CBD stuff?
Medicine, sex toys.
They did the criteria. There is quite a long criteria of what you can't advertise. And what you find is you might be able to work with them and run ad campaigns, but then they'll end up getting disapproved, and then you definitely will have to pull out. So yes, you do have to time work down sometimes just due to what the constraints are.
And part of our project is to like look at your sort of economic structure of the company. I'm just wondering, is there like a specific funding model that you use?
I actually started the business with nothing. Like, so I freelanced and then reinvested all the money that I had earned. So I worked from home until I had enough money to rent an office. It was horrible. If I showed you that office I worked in, you would literally wet yourself. There was a leak in the ceiling where I had a bucket which collected the water. It was pretty horrendous. But no, I literally started with nothing. We've never had any loans, we've never had any overdrafts. If you can't prove that a business model works without any funding, then it's not a business, it's a funding company. You find a lot of these companies in Silicon Valley and stuff that I can't remember what the exact phrase is, but they'll raise capital to reinvest, but the company's never actually turning a profit. So how do you know if you've actually got a good product? So
that's what's interesting about the media landscape at the moment. I guess it's kind of relevant to what you guys are doing at the moment, but if you look at like Spotify, which is obviously a huge industry disruptor for that, Netflix, they don't make any money. They spend so much to chase their own tail that they're actually not proven business models. And like everyone is chasing this subscription model, but it's interesting because the industry's changed so much, but they're not a profitable, but there's no end in sight where Disney Plus is profitable, for example, because the more people they get, the more it costs. Spotify, every year, the amount of money they earn per user goes down and down and down. It's really interesting. Like Will said, when companies constantly have to raise capital and get funding, it is constantly chasing your own tail. So it is, yeah, if you can try and be profitable, then that's the way to go.
There's a really good model of how to work out your hourly rates and that sort of thing, which I'll email over to you guys. But it's really kind of a scalable way of looking at what your overheads are and how you work out your rates and that sort of thing. So one thing that I wish I had known earlier on is how to structure your pricing model. You're not selling a product, you're selling a service. And I think the sooner that you realize that, if you are doing it on your own, the better off you're going to be in the long run. So e.g., you're selling, let's say you're selling a marketing campaign, you're actually selling your time. So I think, I'll send you some info on it, but it might just be thinking about it. I'll send it over, it'll make sense.
Thank you. Thanks. Are there any other questions you wanted to ask?
What is your employee structure, would you say?
So we've got three main departments, which is branding, web design, and marketing. And then within each department, you've got a head of department, a manager, the main team, and then you've got juniors. And then on the other side of things, we've got the accounts team and admin and sales. So, and that's kind of how it works. And the reason that we do it that way, you've got a hierarchy of not necessarily workload or anything like that, but just a way that it's a sign-off process more than anything. So if you've got questions, you can kind of go up the tier. So that's how we structure things.
Yeah, that's all the questions we had. But do you have anything? I know, you want to ask us?
Probably everything from us. I'd be really interested in what you come up with for the campaign for the NHS that you're doing. So keep us in the loop of that. And if you need any feedback or any info, you can always email us and we'll come back as quickly as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's due. When's it due? Oh, God. 3rd of June.
Yeah. That's my birthday.
Is it?
It is my birthday. Yeah.
So we haven't got that long, but
we'll get it done.
We're fine. So
I've got
a question.
I've got one question. What is it that each one of you wants to do in the future? Like, what's your goal?
I'm not like 100% sure. Doing like, because I'm the account manager for like all of for the client and audience module, I'm quite enjoying it, so maybe something down that route, but I'm not like 100% sure yet.
Yeah, I'm similar in the sense that I'm not 100% sure, but I do enjoy like the script writing side to things. But obviously, I don't know, things can change up so quickly. I think it really depends on the project you're given and then what comes out of it, if that makes sense.
I think obviously if we had like a normal year this year, we might be a bit more clearer for like third year and the future.
I wouldn't be put off getting into the industry because of it though. I think we've been so lucky. I mean, I've literally pinched myself the whole way through the pandemic, the fact that we were able to work from home for the last year. And to be honest, if anything, we've kind of flourished as a result. So this time last year, we were a team of 6 and we're now a team of 20 plus. So, and it's all working from home. I'd say like 80% of the people in Bournemouth. And then so traditionally we would never hire anyone outside of Dorset that we couldn't meet. But now we've got guys that work for us all over the country, and it doesn't make a difference. We're all in Slack, and so
you're still working from home now, or
we've got everyone working from home. We probably continue to do that for the next couple of months, and then we're thinking of going to like a flexible working model. So we would have maybe 2 or 3 days in the office, and then the guys can either work from home or work from the office. And I think, we did a poll internally for what everyone wanted to do, and it's a mixed bag. People want to go to flexible working, but only once vaccines and stuff have been had. So we just decided to keep home working until everything's a bit more kind of steady.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of companies are doing at the moment.
I think so. We looked at office space, and the majority of people handing their keys back because they're just, no one's going in. I mean, we've saved a fortune over the past year not having an office, which is great. So
yeah, exactly.
Upgraded all our equipment and stuff, which is cool. So.
Oh, wow. That's the main thing. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. I didn't put it on the sheet, but I was just coming back now. But you said that you were working with a company for like 2 years now. How do you like, do they pay you like before or halfway through?
So payment structure, there's essentially two payment structures for different types of work. So you've got project work, which you would always take a deposit. That's industry standard, dependent on the size. You might do 25% down and then milestone 25% all installments, or another model for smaller projects would be 50% down and the remaining amount on completion. And then you've got retained work, which might be marketing services, and it might be limited by pre-allocated number of hours per month, and that would just be a fixed fee every month. But that company that we're working with, for example, that was a down payment and then milestone payments throughout. But yeah, there's lots of different business models for marketing campaigns as well. If you look at social media advertising, you can either charge an hourly rate, you can charge a flat rate, you can charge a percentage of their advertising spend. Percentage of ad spend is quite an interesting one because it's almost a sliding scale. So if you imagine someone spending more on advertising, you're going to be able to launch more campaigns, which takes more time, which means more money. But also, equally, if they're reducing their ad spend, it's going to take you less time and they can reduce down. So that's quite a good business model if you've got companies that are seasonal. So I don't know, garden centers or something, you know, they might boom in the summer and then they might reduce things down in the winter. So, but yeah, if you Google it, there's loads, just type in marketing pricing structures and stuff. There's a lot of them out there.
Perfect. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Guys, well, look, thanks for having us on. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks very much. See you later. Bye.